Welcome to the Open Forum. Once again, we have the opportunity to look together into the Word of God to find a truth. My, there's no place in the whole wide world where we can find truth like we can find in the Bible. And amazingly, we know that every word in the original languages of the Bible came right from the lips of God Himself. And therefore, they are absolutely important because the Bible is written to you and to me. And secondly, they are absolutely true and trustworthy in the original languages. And that makes the Bible a wonderful, wonderful place to begin to study. Now, before we take our first call, we have one brief announcement. In our effort to try to reach, use every means possible to let the world know that Judgment Day is coming, Family Radio has created a new project called Project Raise Your Banner. Project Raise Your Banner is to encourage and equip believers with the necessary tools around their homes and in their cities to warn the world concerning Judgment Day during these last few weeks before it actually comes. This project consists of lawn signs, backpack signs, and car or truck magnetic signs, which you can utilize personally around your city and around your home. All of these materials are paid for and are ready for you to use. All we ask is that you pay for shipping. This is a project that your whole family can become involved in. If you are interested in this project, Raise Your Banner, please email projectraiseyourbanner@yahoo.com. That's projectraiseyourbanner@yahoo.com with your email address, and then immediately you will receive all the necessary information of what it's all about and how you can use it and what these signs look like. But thank you, and now we're going to go to our first question. Welcome to Open Forum. Welcome to Open Forum.
Yes, Mr. Kambing, good evening.
Well, good evening to you.
I would like to ask you a question. You've been talking about May 21 all this time, and I would like some verses in the Bible that prove that your prophecy or discovery is the truth. I need some verses about May 21.
Well, we don't find the term May 21 in the Bible. We don't find, for example, the Bible says that Jesus was born in the year 7 B.C. We don't find in the Bible anywhere that David ascended the throne in 1007 B.C. and so on. But we know all of that is absolutely biblical because God has given us plenty of time information in the Bible. And when we learn and follow the principle that God has given us to compare Scripture with Scripture, we can finally work through all of this. And we don't find anywhere in the Bible that it says that the flood was 4990 B.C., but we know it was. But God does give us proofs that when we are finished with laying all of that out, that God has, by His mercy, completely by His mercy, guided us very accurately right up to May 21, 2011. And all of this we have written out. So, and it's available free of charge to you, where you can follow just how this was derived from the Bible, only from the Bible. But it's far too complicated to try to answer on this program. But again, all the times that I have recited, they are all, none of them are given in the Bible as a date. But yet they all come from the Bible, and we know it's very accurate because God has given us proofs that it all hangs together perfectly. Welcome to Open Forum.
Hi, Mr. Camping.
Yes.
Yes, how are you today?
Very well. Thank you.
Yes. I just had a question. Now, you always use the Bible as your authority. And when people ask you questions, you say the Bible must be the ultimate authority. Now, I'm just wondering why, and I'll take my answer off the air, why do you feel as though the Bible should be trusted as the ultimate authority? What gives you the reason to think that it comes
from? Well, because the Bible is from the lips of God. Every word in the original language, whether Old Testament Hebrew or New Testament Greek, it all came from the lips of God. And who could be a more ultimate authority than God himself? And so we don't have to go to a theological book to explain the Bible. The Bible will explain itself, although it means we have to study, and follow the rules. The rules are, first of all, we have to understand that in the original language, we're never to question it and think that maybe there's an error in the way God wrote it. Number two, we are to compare Scripture with Scripture very, very carefully, and that takes a lot of work. And thirdly, we have to pray that God might open our spiritual eyes, because the Bible is a living book. It isn't just a book of words. It is a book that identifies right away with God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. In other words, it identifies with Christ.
Okay, so how do we know that it was God that inspired the Bible?
Well, let me read to you. Here God illustrates that in a couple of places, but one of the best places is in a book that is one of the biggest books of the Bible, and covering all the nations, talking about all the nations of the world, and it has a lot of information about salvation, as well as a lot of information about the end of the world. And we read in Jeremiah 36. Now remember, this is not my words, this is God's words. In Jeremiah 36, we read in verse 1, "And it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that this word came unto Jeremiah from Jehovah, saying, Take thee a roll of a book, and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel and against Judah and against all the nations, from the day I spoke unto thee, from the day of Josiah, even unto this day." In other words, it's going to cover everything that is in, that has been written in the book of Jeremiah. And then he goes on in verse 4, "Then Jeremiah called Baruch, the son of Neriah." Apparently he was a secretary to Jeremiah. "And Baruch wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of Jehovah, which he had spoken unto him, all the words of the Lord, which he," that is Jeremiah, "had spoken unto him upon a roll of a book." So that says very plainly that God is dictating to Jeremiah, who in turn is giving it to his secretary to write into a roll of a book, and that roll of a book is the Bible.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Camping.
Thank you for calling. And you know, there's not a pastor in the world, and there's no church, certainly, no denomination that understands this. I have many, many conservative theological books, and this is never taught. And therefore, obviously, they're not going to come to truth, because they don't understand the absolute authority of the Word of God. It's way beyond what they imagine, and for that reason, there's a lot of things they have not learned accurately. Welcome to Open Forum.
Yeah, hi, thanks for taking my call. Given the fact that you dedicate so much of your time and your life to studying the Bible and coming to this conclusion of May 21st being the day of rapture, Should we assume that you're going to be on the radio on air during the time when Rapture is supposed to begin? I think you said it's going to be probably an international dateline somewhere around 6 o'clock. Whatever time that is here on the West Coast, or should we just assume, I mean, we should assume that you're on, obviously you're going to be on the air taking calls.
I will not. I do not plan to be on the air at the time when the judgment day begins, unless it's a repeat program of something that was done earlier, because Family Radio will still be broadcasting at that moment. But I will not be here. So far, I might change my mind about that, but I plan simply to do a normal open forum on Friday evening before that Saturday. That would be on the 20th of May, and that's all that I plan to do. And so, because it's God's program, it's not my program, it's God's program.
I agree with you. It is God's program. I totally agree with you on that. But it just seems to me, and this is just one individual, that as much effort and as many followers as you've been able to capture, and you know, with the caravan that's been going across the United States and all the effort of all these people, it just seemed that it would be an appropriate thing for you to be available on the air when the rapture begins, especially considering that it's not going to begin here on the West Coast.
Well, excuse me, what in the world do I, what can I offer? How can I help on the Day of Judgment? This is God's program. It isn't my program. It isn't man's program. It's God's program. We have to get our focus correctly. This is God's program. Right? We can teach one another, and we can be praying individually for others and for ourselves. But insofar as, what can I say in the last day or two that's going to help anybody? All I can do is wait for the day of judgment, just like everybody else does. This is not man's extravaganza. This is not some kind of a big deal that mankind is doing. This is God's program. So let's sit quietly and wait for it to happen. And thank you for calling and sharing. And shall we take our next call, please? Welcome to Open Forum.
Hey, how you doing?
Very well, thank you.
Good. I got a quick question. I was wondering if you could help me with it.
Yes, go ahead with your call.
Radio down.
Hello?
Yes.
Okay, here's my question. You've dedicated a lot of time and effort and energy to the cause of, you know, researching and whatever, and even having a radio show. I mean, you got a lot of work cut out for you. On May 21st at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right? What will you do if nothing happens?
As I've said again and again, I don't even entertain that question. What you're really asking me is, are you so certain, but yet there's a tiny, tiny, tiny little possibility in your mind that it might not happen? Well, then I'm not trusting the Bible. But the fact is, it is going to happen. It is going to happen. I have no plan at all if it doesn't happen, because that is not part of believing that it is going to happen. And so I'm sorry, I cannot answer your question. But thank you for calling and sharing. And shall we take our next call, please? Welcome to Open Forum.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead with your call, please.
Yes. Good evening. Good evening, Mr. Campan. How are you?
Very well, thank you.
Yes, this is really, I've been listening to you for the past 20-some years, and I'm able to get on tonight. I know how far you've come in terms of knowing a lot of the truth and so forth. However, my question to you tonight, how how strong do you believe about the second coming? And is there any possibility that there can be an error based on human failure of understanding biblical data and so forth? And what are you going to do if it does not happen?
You know,
those believers who are listening to you.
Yes, you know, when we study the Bible, we find that all of God's prophecies do come true. For example, God gave the impossible prophecy way back in 2,000 years ago that Israel, the nation of Israel, with its homeland of Jerusalem and so on, they were which were destroyed in 70 AD, and yet God prophesied that before the end, as one of the signs of the end of them, as a matter of fact, they would again be a nation in their own land. And on top of that, he prophesied that when they became a nation, they would not want Christ as their Messiah, even though for 2,000 years Christ has been very important in the affairs of the world, through all the churches focus on that. And you would think that if they ever did become a nation again, they would, even though they disagreed with his theology, at least they would be honored to call him one of their favorite sons. But the Bible says no, they would not want him as their national to be recognized as belonging to them. Now, God gave no other signs that this would happen, no other proofs that this would happen that I'm aware of, and yet, lo and behold, in 1948, almost miraculously, they became a nation in their own land, a nation amongst all the nations of the world, and they've been a nation for 63 years. And today they don't want Christ as their Messiah any more than they ever did in the history of the world. But it all did come to pass exactly as God has indicated. Now here God has talked about the end of the world all through the Bible and has given all kinds of information and has given us magnificent proofs that the timeline that has finally been worked out by the mercy of God is absolutely accurate. And on top of all the proofs, like for example that there are exactly 7,000 years from the flood 4990 BC to 2011 AD when Judgment Day would come, and other proofs. And on top of that, a whole plethora of signs, like Israel becoming a nation as one of the signs, and the gay pride situation demonstrating that we're right at the threshold of Judgment Day, and the fact that in all the churches they would keep saying that Christ comes as a thief in the night, and yet insisting that they are true believers, and that would be one of the signs. One of the signs was that we would know who the Antichrist is, and during the last several years, we've known conclusively, based on 1 John in 1 John, a verse that tells us that the Antichrist is Satan, and that's one of the signs. And the signs that there would be an enormous increase in wickedness all over the world, that's one of the signs. And so God not only has prophesied about the end of the world and given us a very specific timeline, but he's given intensive proofs, and he's given us intensive signs. Now, if God is always carrying out and doing what he has prophesied, what are the odds that he's not going to do it here on May 21? There's zero. There's no possibility that it will not happen. So it finally depends on whether we are trusting the Bible or not. That is really the issue. The issue is not what the Bible is offering. It's offering just an enormous, enormous amount of information about this, with proofs and signs way beyond anything else. And so, of course, it's going to happen. But I have to say, no, we have to pause for a message, and then we'll go to our next caller. We're continuing with the Open Forum, and we're ready to take our next call. Welcome to Open Forum.
Good evening, Mr. Kemping. How are you?
Very well, thank you.
Okay, I believe that, thank you for accepting my call. It is a privilege for me, you know, to talk to you. You know, I've been listening to Family Radio for a long time, along with my family. And I believe that you have some very good points, you know, in reference to spiritual truth. And I even had some books from you from a long time ago. So I learned from your books. However, in terms of the May 21st, you know, this is basically the, what I'm calling about, you know. And I think you have been quite emphatic, reiterate that, you know, that will be the end of time, you know. I do have to make a comment before I ask the question. I don't want to be there for a long time, you know. And I think in reference to May 21st, you know, as you had mentioned, and I believe that in 94 you made a prediction that didn't come true. And, you know, personally, as a mortal human being, I don't see the reason why you have been saying for certainty that May 21st will be the end of time. And I don't think it is a positive sign for Family Radio, you know, for all of your listeners, you know. They keep asking.
Well, excuse me. No, excuse me. And in 1994, that book was written with a big question mark. It was written in 1992. It was much, much earlier. There was a lot of information I had not been able to study yet in the Bible. That's why I put a question mark after it. And in the book itself, I indicated that it also could be 2011, and so on. And the fact is, at that time, there were no proofs that it was going to happen in 1994. There weren't any particular signs except that Israel had already become a nation. That was a sign. That was the only sign that we were close to the. The day of judgment was very close at hand, but now compared with and 1990, what I had written about in 1994 is still almost all of that is still a part of the study that leads us to 2011. Because already, as I said, I had indicated that 2011 could be the date, but my. The Bible is very complex, since 1994, many years have passed, and a very much intensive study, not only by me, but by many others, so that we have a far greater amount of information, and we have all these proofs and signs. So what happened in 1994, and I'm not a bit embarrassed about it, it's just that it was preliminary, and yet because of the command in Ezekiel that the true believers are to warn the world, I quickly wrote the book to warn, because I wanted to be faithful to God, but I put a question mark after it. And that has nothing to do then with the fact that now we have all kinds of proofs. We have had time to do a far more study of all this information, and it is all locked in way, way tighter. It's a different situation altogether. There's no comparison with the book 1994 and from what we are saying today. But thank you for calling and sharing. But I'll tell you, that book 1994 is a nice alibi for those who are insisting they don't want to believe May 21, 2011. Oh, it provides a nice alibi for them, and if that's what they're going to rest their case on, well, they can do that. But I'll tell you, they're resting it on nothing at all, nothing at all. They better listen. They better rest it on, if they don't believe it's going to happen on May 21. In a few weeks, they better rest it on something a lot more authoritative than that idea.
Hello, Mr. Kenton?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, I don't want to be too long because I know you have a lot of callers. But I would appreciate if you know if you talk more about, you know, Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4, verse 12, which talks about salvation instead of prophecies that will not happen, you know. So where will you be on May 22nd?
Excuse me, I've explained that. I will be with Christ. The day of judgment is simultaneously with the catching up of the true believers, and it is going to happen. Please, I will not entertain that question. But shall we take our next call, please? Welcome to Open Forum.
Hello, Harold. How are you?
Very well, thank you.
I just have a question.
Would you please, first of all, turn your radio off? That will help us.
My radio is off, sir.
Go ahead with your question.
What are you smoking, and where can I buy some?
Well, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to let you down because I don't smoke anything at all. I'm sorry. I don't take any drugs of any kind. Outside of maybe a little bit of medicine, but not anything like people use to get a high of some kind. Thank you for calling and sharing. And shall we take our next call, please? Welcome to Open Forum.
Yes, I have a question. You're stating that the 21st of May, Jesus is going to return. Is that correct?
Well, he will, the sign of him as having come, and we will not see him visibly, but we will see the sign, the fact that the judgment day has begun. We will absolutely know that judgment day has come, and that identifies with Christ coming now as the judge first of all, to gather all of the true believers to be with him, and secondly, to bring his final judgment shame upon all of the unsaved during the next 5 months.
My question is, this is your interpretation, is that correct?
This is what the Bible is teaching. The Bible is not subject to private interpretation. The Bible warns against that. We can't just look at a verse and say, well, I think it means this or that, and I'm going to teach it that way. We have to look at a verse and check the whole Bible very carefully to make sure that what our conclusion is accurate, because every verse is interpreted not by a Bible teacher or a theologian, it is interpreted by the Bible itself. And so you can say, this is your interpretation. No, I'm no authority at all. It is the Bible's interpretation. The Bible is the authority.
That you could have reached by showing them the grace of God rather than in your interpretation of how you interpreted Scripture.
Well, excuse me, it isn't not my interpretation. It is what God gives the interpretation. When we see a word and we're wondering what that could mean spiritually, we don't think about it for a while and decide, well, maybe it means this or it means that. We have to go to the Bible and find evidence as to what God. How God uses that word or that number or that verse and so on. It has to come out of the Bible. The Bible warns that it is not subject to private interpretation. It is subject to God's interpretation, and that is found in the Bible. But it's a lot of hard work. That's one of the big problems, because the Bible is very complex. Anybody who just opens it up and starts reading somewhere will immediately find all kinds of verses. What in the world is God talking about here? So it isn't something that you can just find in 5 minutes. It requires long hours of study and long years of study. But thank you for calling and sharing. And shall we take our next call, please? Welcome to Open Forum.
Good evening, Mr. Camping.
Yes.
I've been a follower of yours since the mid-70s. I had the pleasure of meeting you at least three different times over the years, and I am a supporter of your ministry. I find it fascinating that everything that you say the Bible states, you're able to back up with Scripture, and that's good enough for me. I do have a question. In regard to stewardship, I know that Family Radio is in the business of spreading the gospel, and nevertheless, it is a business with accounts payable and accounts receivable. I was just wondering what your thinking was in regard to maybe settling any accounts payable by May 20th. I just would like to know what your thinking is on that.
I can tell you this, both in my private life as well as in the life of Family Radio, every bill that is legitimate and we have to make payment will be paid right on time. We will not hold over anything. But I have to pause now. We're continuing with the Open Forum, and we're ready to take the next call. Welcome to Open Forum.
Hello, Mr. Camping.
Yes.
Because the May 21st date has been derived based on infallible proofs, and it's based on the infallible Word of God, I'm curious to know that, would you agree with the statement that if these things that have been told to us by God, if they do not come to pass on the 21st, then God wouldn't exist?
If they don't happen, I don't even consider questions like that. The fact is, the Bible has given us that information. It's like asking the question, because the minute you raise a question like that, you're already casting doubt whether I really trust the Bible. And I trust the Bible implicitly. This information comes from the Bible. It's like asking the question, well, suppose that we learn sometime along the line that it wasn't Jesus who was the creator. The Bible says he was. That he created the world in 6 days. But suppose somewhere along the line we learn that he is not the creator. Well, then we're saying right at that point, I don't really trust the Bible. There is the possibility, it's a tiny, tiny, tiny possibility, but nevertheless, it might not have happened. So all I'm doing is saying, God, you've given us this information, but I don't trust it implicitly. I don't rest my life on it, and so I don't trust God. And I can't do that. The Bible is God's Word, and all of this information comes from the Bible. And so how in the world could I ever entertain a question like that? But thank you for calling and sharing. And shall we take our next call, please? Welcome to Open Forum.
Yes, my question is a two-part question. Since the first half of the Great Tribulation is 2300 evening mornings, wouldn't the total time be 8400 evening mornings?
Well, the fact is a day is 12 hours, and the nighttime is 12 hours, and God created the world and as evening mornings. It was evening and morning day one, evening and morning day two, and so on. Evening and morning, we happen with our calendar to start the day at midnight, when God was working out the dates of the sacrifices, feast days, and so on, Sabbath days, for example, the day began at sundown at the end of 12 hours, which would have been 6 p.m. And then that the new day began then, and so for the first 6 hours, it's in disconformity with our particular calendar.
So the Day of Judgment would have to begin on the evening of May 21, which would be the end of 8,400 evening mornings.
It would, well, it will begin on May. You see, we have to be a little careful here. We now in our calendars that we're occupied with are what our calendars are. And when it comes to be about 6 p.m. On May 21 in any city, that will be the beginning of the Day of Judgment. And there are those who are trying to figure out right to the exact moment when that Day of Judgment ends, whether it's going to be at sundown or it's going to be something else. But all they're doing is getting it more and more complicated. We just have to face the fact that we have found that May 21 fits perfectly in all of the development of the progress of time right from the beginning, May 21. And so that's what we have to deal with. When May 21 comes, and we do know that it will begin in the not at midnight, and not at noon, not at the cock crowing, which would be about 3 in the morning, nor in the morning, but we do know it will begin right at the beginning of the evening, and the beginning of the evening is about 6 p.m. And so that's all we have to live with.
I ask is, wouldn't Judgment Day start with the gathering of God's elect, as opposed to God pouring out his judgment? Wouldn't he have to gather his elect first?
No. Well, God doesn't give us all the minute detail. We know that the true believers, the elect, do not come in under judgment. We do know that they will be visibly caught up into heaven. The rest of the world will see them. The Bible says that their enemies beheld them as they were caught up. We do know that those who are left behind are under the judgment of God, and it's going to be a horrible, horrible experience for them. But we have to be careful that we don't try to get this down now to the last nut and bolt and have everything all laid out with absolute precision, because first of all, it doesn't serve any real purpose, but secondly, it's very easy to get all so complicated that pretty soon you don't know whether you're afoot or horseback. You don't know whether you're just where you are, and it's but we do know that when we work through the timeline, that May 21 is the crucial date. And so that's what we're going to we just have to stay with that. But thank you for calling and sharing. And shall we take our next call, please?
How did you know that, how did you guys come to the conclusion that 1988, the church age ended, and you were able to put a date on the beginning of the tribulation?
Well, all of that came through very, very long hours of intense study over the last 50 or more years. It has not come by simply asking God for a vision or a voice. No way. It had to come out of the Bible and following the rules of the Bible. Number one, that everything in the Bible in the original language came from the lips of God. Therefore, it is super important, super accurate, and we never raise questions about the original language, even though as we compare Scripture with Scripture once in a great while, we find that the translators did not do their best, and we may have to change a word here or there, but never with the original language. Secondly, that we compare Scripture with Scripture. We compare spiritual things with spiritual. And never, never conclude that we have the truth until we, for sure, until we find harmony with anything and everything else that the Bible teaches. Thirdly, that we cannot find truth because of our own intellect or our own genius or whatever. No way. We have to pray constantly, oh God, open my spiritual eyes. Could it be that I might have understanding about this passage or that verse? And fourthly, it requires great patience and great diligence in continuing to check out this and that. In other words, it's not something that you can do in a hasty way or in 5 minutes. It's something that requires an intense amount of spiritual labor. And when you follow all of those rules, and if God blesses you as you follow all those rules, then you begin to understand some of these things. But thank you for calling and sharing. And shall we take our next call? Please welcome to Open Forum.
Now, Mr. Kathy?
Yes, go ahead with your call.
Yes, today I was at the Museum of Natural History in New York City. And they had all the bones of the dinosaurs.
Yes.
And on the bottom, 4.5 million years old.
Yes.
So how can you say that the Earth is only 13,000 years?
Well, now you see, these scientists, they're revolutionary scientists, and they don't believe the Bible at all. That is not part of their research.
About the Bible.
Excuse me. They do not believe the Bible at all. But the fact is, they have to figure out how in the world this world came into existence with its millions of complex life forms, and they have decided that the world is billions of years old, and they have made, they've tried to guess about this and about that, and then they trust in their guesses. As a matter of fact, nobody can argue with this, but the invention of writing goes back no more than 5,200 years. They have absolutely found no archaeological evidence of writing earlier than about 5,200 years. Now, the writing was the only way that you could really test about how old something is, because in the written documents of the archaeology, sometimes a reference was made to a moon eclipse or something of that nature, and that could be coordinated with what astronomers know about that, and so they could tell quite accurately how old that archaeological piece was that they found. But once they got earlier than 5,200 years, there is nothing, absolutely nothing, that can tell them how to tell earlier time. And so they have to make guesses. They can measure the amount of chemical in various rocks and ice and so on, but they have to make guesses as to how it all began. And then they make those guesses their authority. They trust in nothing, in other words. It's the greatest situation of faith you can ever imaginable. Their faith is based on nothing. And yet they write about it like they know all about it. That is absolutely trustworthy. And so you go to that museum and you read that little sticker. Hold on for just a moment. No, I dare say, without, and I can, we can show that, that evolutionary science that talks about millions of years and billions of years in the past is just one great big scam. There is no truth in it. Now, for example, just as an illustration, you can get a little booklet from Family Radio called Let the Ocean Speak. Now, the scientists have measured relatively accurately the amount of sediments and the chemicals in those sediments that flow into the ocean from all the rivers of the world. This is just a fact of measuring. And where do those sediments go? Well, obviously, they go on the ocean floor. And so now, if they measure how much in 1 year goes on the ocean floor of all these sediments, how much would go in 1 million years or in 80 million years? My, you would think that the ocean would be absolutely, would have been, the sediment would be thousands of and thousands and thousands of feet deep. But the fact is, when they have check the ocean floor, it is relatively free of sediments. Oh, there are sediments, but not thousands and thousands and thousands of feet. The sediment on the ocean floor agrees with what we learn from the facts of the Bible, that when coordinated with our calendar, the creation began 11,013 B.C. These scientists, they're scared to death to admit there is a God, because then they know they're in trouble with God, and so they try desperately to pull this idea that we're millions and millions of years old, and therefore also perhaps the world will go on for another millions of years. There's no truth in it. None. I dare to say this very publicly, because I have checked on these things. And when you think of the millions of life forms, I use again and again just the illustration of a common housefly. It's got two eyes, and each eye has got 4,000 lenses in it. Have you ever heard a scientist try to tell you how that came to in existence in the last millions of years? It's ridiculous. It took a creator. When we are come up with all these magnificent things that are going on with communication, with TV and radio and all kinds of things that I can't even talk about, and how did it come to pass? Because by somebody just waiting for millions of years for it to happen? No. Someone had to think it out, and then design it, and then make it, and then correct it because it didn't work the first time, but keep working on it, and the next thing you have an object you can use. And that's exactly the way God created the world. He spoke, and he brought the world into existence. It did not just come through long periods of time.
Did you forget about carbon dating? 14 carbon dating, they can go back as far as the earth was made. And the scientist is not against they're just telling it as it is, without the science.
Excuse me, carbon 14 dating is only accurate as far back as they can check it against written data. And any date that they date earlier than 5,200 years ago, and even then they find they have to make a correction to their carbon 14 date because of what they learned from the written record. But once they go past that, they have absolutely no way to check their carbon 14 dating at all. Then they can go to potassium argon dating, and the same thing there. There's a very definite break off at 5,200 years ago. They have no way to check their car. They make guesses as to how it all started, and based on those guesses, which are pure guesses, they're not trustworthy. They're just guesses, And they build their whole business on those guesses. They're trusting, in other words, in nothing. When we read the Bible, we are getting the information right from the mouth of God. And every fact in the Bible that we read about is absolutely true and trustworthy. But thank you for calling and sharing. And shall we take our next call, please? Welcome to Open Forum.
I have two scriptures that I would like to read.
Well, no, let's
first
take...
First one is Acts chapter 4, chapter 1, verse Acts, 4 to 8.
Acts chapter 1, 4 to 8. Let's look at that.
I want to read it for myself.
Excuse me. Let's read it so that everybody can hear it very clearly. Acts chapter 1, verse 4 to 8. And being assembled
together... I want to read it, campaign.
Excuse me. I will
read... I want to read the verses of Scripture.
Well, why do you want to read it? Excuse me. You have a question, and I am going to read this, and then you ask your question. And if you don't like this arrangement, I'm sorry, then you will go on to the next caller. Now, you have to make up your mind. But we want this scripture to be very carefully read.
You were just talking
about Acts chapter 1, verse 4. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now, what is the other scripture you wanted to look at?
The other scripture is Acts chapter 4, verse 5 to 12.
Well, I don't know. We're reading an awful lot of scripture. Let me look and see what that's covering.
That's the text, Scamping.
What is the verse that you want to take out of Acts 4, verse 5 to 12?
I want you to read 7 to 12. Read 7 to 12.
7 to 12. There
oh,
we
cunning
read.
Man.
Let me. All right, let's. And when they were had set them in the midst, they asked, let's start back at verse 5. We have to get the context. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. Remember, the high priests are still following the Jewish religion, not the religion of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when they had set them in the midst of them, that is the disciples, by what power or by what name have ye done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, please, what is your question?
In Acts 1,
he stated to them who the Father was. And the understanding of who he is, when they waited on the upper room,
I'm sorry, we're going to have to go to our break. We have a caller on the line, and I'm going to ask you to ask your question very quickly and very clearly with no more explanation, or else we'll go to our next caller. Please, you're going to try to use these verses maybe to say that, or is your question, are these verses teaching that Christ, after all, is not quite the Father? Is that what you're trying to say?
I want to ask my question, but you don't allow anyone...
Excuse me, what is your question? I'm allowing you to do that. Now, go ahead, please.
And I want you to give me a chance to answer you. The question is, what is the gospel?
What is the gospel? The gospel is the Bible, the whole Bible.
Listen to this man. Listen to him.
That's the answer.
That's the answer you gave me, Camping? What does 1 Corinthians 15, 1-3 says? That's the reason why I wanted to read the scriptures.
Yeah, well, excuse me. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. We're not going anywhere. We're just going. You've asked your question, and I have given you the answer, and so we're going to go to our next caller. I'm sorry. But shall we take our next call? Welcome to Open Forum.
Hello, Brother Camping. How are you?
Very well, thank you.
Yes, I just turned my radio off. Okay, on the day before the 21st, what do you think your last message will be to everybody? Do you advise us to listen to the radio on Saturday morning?
I do not plan a May 20th message at all. I simply plan on May 20th is Friday, and presently, and I could change my mind between now and then, but presently, you know, the Bible says occupy until I come, and I will be doing an open forum. That'll be scheduled for that Friday evening, and that'll be my last time on family radio, and so that's all that I plan. Right, I don't plan anything special at all. It's because I right at that time we're ready to meet God, or we're not ready. At that time, we've come to the end of God's salvation plan. But thank you for calling and sharing. And shall we take our next call, please? Welcome to Open Forum.
Good evening, Mr.
Yes, Pitt. Go ahead with your call.
I called you up a little over a month ago, and I brought up a couple of verses, one in Luke and one in Isaiah. And to me, I see a relation between the two. You don't see that relation. And the one in Luke, I'd have you look again in your own time. That's 21:11, just in your own time. I don't want to get into it right now, but... Actually, the terrifying things or the terrifying sights, the word sights shouldn't be there. I looked at the Greek on that.
I'm sorry. What verse are you looking at?
Well, I didn't want to get into that, though, right now.
Oh, okay. Well,
I want
then,
you to look at.
What is your question?
Okay, my question is that you had stated that the verse in Isaiah 66 that states that God comes back, Jesus will return, which blew my mind when I read this, that he's going to
that God comes back, and excuse me, a verse you want to look at, Isaiah 66, and which verse?
No, I'm going to point something out, Brother Camping. Please, give me a chance. Please. I pointed out this verse in 66 in Isaiah states that when the Lord returns, he will return with his chariot, and that caught my eye. And I called you up, and I brought that up to you, that it seems to me... That's what Luke 21 is stating.
Well, excuse me. You are making statements. What verse are you talking about that he's going to return in Isaiah 66 with chariots? We have to look at that verse. We can't just talk kind of around it. What is your question?
If you believe that the chariots that God or Jesus is going to return with is a spiritual thing, what do you make of 2 Kings 6:17, please?
2 Kings chapter 6, verse 17, where we, does that where it's talking about Elijah going up in a chariot of fire?
No.
Let me see. Judge. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 17. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And Jehovah opened. That is a different statement. And the Lord and Jehovah opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Now, what is your question?
My question is, were those real, or was that just something spiritual?
Oh, that is he in this vision, he saw real chariots. But that doesn't mean that there were real chariots out there, physical, literal chariots, but it was what God caused him to see his chariots out there. That's very obvious from the context.
Okay. Now, if you go back to Luke 21:11, I don't see how you can say that is something that is not of the same nature, because that is saying almost the same thing. And if you do a Greek study on this, look at the Greek on this very carefully.
Luke 22, you want to look at, and he, Luke 21, verse 11, there we read, and great earthquakes shall be in the diverse places, and famines and pestilences and fearful sights, and great signs there shall be from heaven.
Oh,
that's 21. Or are you on 22:11? Excuse me, I'm sorry. And ye shall, Luke, or no, you want 21:11. Okay, that's what I was reading. Luke 21:11. And great, and it's saying against, in verse 10, nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in different places, and famines and pestilences, and fearful sights, and great signs there shall be from heaven, and before all these they shall lay hands on you, and so on. Now, what is your question?
Well, this is what I'm pointing out, is that that's a bad translation. When it says there shall be great sights, the word sight should not be there. It should be, there shall be great and terrible, or great and, I forget the terminology there, but both, the word both is not translated. It should be both great terrors and signs from heaven. Now, what I'm saying is that God, he doesn't have to have literal things that people are seeing, but if there's fearful sights, and this is separated from it's very similar to when Jesus had told the apostles that when the end comes, it'll be like the days of Noah, and things just seem to continue. People don't take it to heart that this end is coming, and they just keep getting married, and life just goes on.
Is your question really then that God has already given us many fearful signs from heaven? The fact of the gay pride movement is a sign from heaven that God has delivered the world up to that kind of sinful activity. The sign that the churches are all holding to the fact that Christ is coming as a thief in the night, and yet they're convinced they're saved. That is a sign from heaven. It's a spiritual sign. And there are many other signs that God has given us. Now, insofar as how literal this will become, we don't know. We don't have any clear language. I don't like to speculate. And it may be before Judgment Day is finally here, May 21 is here, it may be that there still might be some physical signs, that there are some language that allows that possibility, but nothing that we can clearly say, yes, we know that too is going to happen. We should try not to speculate as little as possible. Because everything is so horrible and so terrible and so fantastic and so tremendous and so awesome about all this time in which we're living, and we can really get a carried away on these things. And so we have to be very, very careful and very modest before we start looking at something as that's actually going to happen, like earthquakes, for example. Lots of people do a lot of things with earthquakes, but when you make an honest study, you'll find that on the average, there are no more earthquakes today than any other time in the history of the world, on the average, and they've had bigger earthquakes than we have today, and so we have to be very careful that we don't just get excited about this, but be very mature and wait for, as God will. When the time comes, God will reveal more to us if there's more for us to know. But it's also very healthy to say it is possible that this could happen, but not that where it is actually going to happen.
Another thing, please.
But thank you.
May I say one other thing? Just one other thing. I agree with what you just said. It all makes sense, and I also think that same way. But why would God tell us this unless he expected us to study and figure out what he is talking about? Because I don't see it as simply as you, for instance. I don't see gay pride as being a frightening thing.
Yeah, well, it is.
I understand the earthquake.
It depends on how you're looking at it. Gay pride, a sign like that, is a horribly frightening thing because it guarantees that we're right on the threshold of Judgment Day. It isn't the gay pride that is frightening. It's the fact that it's pointing to the frightening event that we're at the end, and every sign is pointing to it. It depends on how we're looking at these signs. But thank you for calling and sharing, and shall we take our next call, please? Welcome to Open Forum.
Yeah, hello, Mr. Camping.
Yes.
I'm a new listener, and I've understood that ever since the death of Christ, the church has been failing. How did you come to the specific date of 1988 that was the end of the church age? And is there no existence of Christ in any churches now?
Well, you know, the fact is that the Bible is a book of facts. It is a book of facts. When God says, for example, that Jesus, when he was going to demonstrate how he made payment for our sins, he would be born in Bethlehem. And he was born in Bethlehem. The Bible tells us the fact that Christ demonstrated how he suffered for us by actually becoming a curse and being hung on a cross. And even though he had he was not making payments for sin, he was simply demonstrated how he made payments for sin. That those are facts that God gives us. And God gives us the fact that at some time in the past, God created the heavens and the earth, and he created them in 6 days. And then he gives a lot of facts about how old this man was when he begat this man, and he gives us information about how to understand the word begat, and it all comes very slowly. We have to very carefully compare Scripture with Scripture and pray for wisdom, because we, in our minds, could never figure it out ourselves. And slowly on, God begins to give us information, and we keep working on it, and then from time to time, God gives us proofs that that it's working out. And then finally, when we finally have come to all of the information, then he gave us grand proofs that are just wonderful from the Bible to show that indeed by God's mercy, not because of anybody being smart or learned or something, but by God's mercy, we have been guided by God to work these things out accurately, and so it all fits together. It all locks together in a wonderful way. And that's what this whole business is about. It's all based only on the Bible. But it's based on just a lot of study and of the Bible and praying for wisdom, and slowly on, a little here, a little there, a little the other place, and slowly on, it all begins to fit together, and then it locks together. We have signs, many signs, that indicate we're right near the very end of time, and we have wonderful proofs that, like, for example, that God shows us that there's 7,000 years from the date of the when the flood began in Noah's day to the time when Judgment Day will come. And that's exactly what we worked out before we ever knew that proof was there, that that long ago we knew that had worked out that that the flood would occur in 4990 BC when coordinated with our calendar. And over 20 years ago, we already had calculated that May, that 2011 would be the year of his Judgment Day, and they, those two dates are exactly 7,000 years apart, just exactly as God indicates they would be. But then there are many other signs, like the gay pride, the whole terrible thing of the homosexual movement. God indicates, when we compare Romans 1 with Jude verse 7, we find that it, and Genesis chapter 19, we find that there it's talking about the fact that one of the big signs that we're on the threshold of Judgment Day is a vast increase in the sin of homosexuality and of lesbianism. And we find that another sign is that the Bible says there would be a vast increase in sin. And the world has never in its whole history been as sinful as it is, with all the terrible sexual misconduct that's going on, with the lying, with this greed, with the stealing, on every level, with the sin in the churches that we're hearing about and the kind of gospel that they're offering. It's pathetic, pathetic, pathetic beyond measure. But this is what we were to expect when we study the Bible, as a sign that we're right at the end. But thank you for calling and sharing. And shall we take our next call, please? Welcome to Open Forum.
Yes, hello, Brother Cappy.
Yes.
Can you please turn to Luke 21, verse 35?
Luke.
And also, yes, 21, verse 35. And
let me
also
read that first of all. Luke 21, verse 35, for as a snare shall it come. Now, let me start with verse 34. And take heed of yourselves, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting, that is overeating, and drunkenness, and cares of this life, so that they come upon you unawares. And that's a very fine warning, because I'll tell you, we do get busy with the things of this world, and suddenly our eyes are we're shocked to realize we're really just a few weeks from the very end of this world. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole world. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. This is really a warning about our day. Now, what is your question?
Could we compare that to Psalms 124, verse 6 and 7? And I'll take your call over here.
Psalm 124. Let's go to that. Psalm 124, verse 6 and 7. Blessed be Jehovah, who hath not given us as a prey to their teeth. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we are escaped. And now what is your question? They do relate because the snare is a trap. And a bird can be trapped in a snare or in a trap that is set for it, or an animal can be trapped in it. And we can be trapped by the fact that we are so busy with this world and we love this world, and God has given us a beautiful world to live in, and He's given us very frequently lovely friends and nice children and a career and nice flowers to smell and food to eat and so on. And oh my, we enjoy every day, and we forget that, but we might have to have a relationship with God, that judgment day is coming. And suddenly we're awake to the fact May 21 is judgment day. Oh my, how awful. I can't think of it. I don't want to think of it. I'm going to deny it. And that's exactly what this verse in Luke 21 verse 35 is talking about. We have been so busy with this world and we haven't thought about, but what is my relationship with God? I finally have to answer to God. What is my relationship? And so this world becomes a trap. It's a snare that catches us, and suddenly we're awake to it, that judgment day is here, and we find that we're not saved. We find that we don't even know very much about salvation. We're so happy with what we're doing and so proud of what's happening in our lives. We don't see how in the world we could ever come crawling on our belly, so to speak, pleading with God, "Oh God, have mercy on me, I'm a sinner. Oh God, have mercy on me, I'm a sinner." No, that doesn't fit into my lifestyle at all. But thank you for calling and sharing. And shall we take our next call? Please welcome to Open Forum.
Hi, Brother Camping. I was fellowshipping today with a sister in the Lord, and we were wondering if the Lord would rapture us before the terrible devastation and earthquakes begin, only because because for the believers to witness our loved ones who are not saved enduring this terrible happening all over the world, we were wondering why would God, the Lord, allow us this pain and sorrow, and how is He glorified in this?
Well, now you think about it. Now, when Jesus was raptured, because He was caught up after He had finished demonstrating how He had made payment for our sins, where He was in the grave, He was dead. And what had to happen? The Bible tells us there was a great earthquake, and He came out of the grave. And then He couldn't go immediately into heaven because He had to demonstrate and give plenty of information to the world that He indeed had risen. But it's because there was an earthquake. And if you read Matthew 27, it talks about the graves being thrown. There was a big earthquake, and the graves were being thrown open. And then after Christ arose, then the bodies of those who were in those graves arose and went into the holy city. And from the context, we know the holy city was heaven. And so at the moment that judgment day hits any city, and it'll hit hour by hour going around the whole world in 24 hours, but when it hits that city or that area, it means that there's going to be a huge earthquake. Remember, we read in Revelation chapter 16, it'll be a great earthquake, far greater than anything this world has ever experienced. And the graves will all be thrown open, which will allow two things to happen simultaneously. On the one hand, the bodies of those who were true believers, who were in the elect of God, and who had been buried there, their bodies will, or their whatever's left of them, their bones or dust or whatever's left in that grave, will be resurrected, a glorified spiritual body, and they will be caught up in the sight of all the unsaved watching. They will be caught up and into heaven. But simultaneously, the bones or the corpses or whatever is left of those who died unsaved will be thrown out and be finally shamed in the eyes of God. The Bible uses the ugly language. They will be like manure all over the face of the earth. And so so the true believer who is being raptured does not experience Judgment Day. He simply comes out of that tomb and instantly goes right up to be with Christ. But at the same time, that person that is thrown out of the grave, they don't have any conscious existence either. But on the other hand, those who are living and are left behind, they will begin to quickly experience death. There'll be millions dying, obviously, with such huge earthquakes all over the world, and they'll be entering into that final 5 months of Judgment Day. But now I have to wait for our next message. We're continuing with the Open Forum, and shall we take our next call? Please welcome to Open Forum.
Oh, good evening, Mr. Campion. You said something tonight that I really find to be very interesting and important, and you know, I've been praying for more faith to God about this May 21 because I appreciate your confidence, and most of my friends are just as confident, and I really believe that I am confident just as much that Christ is coming. However, I have prayed that God gives me even more faith and assurance, and the reason why I say that is partly because you know, I'm a single father with two kids, and I have said to myself over a certain amount of time that I just didn't want to leave myself in such a financial, you know, broken state that that if the world didn't end, I would still be able to care for my boys. And so I don't really feel as if I have doubt that the world's going to end. And it's not like I have a bank account with money in it or anything, but I'm just saying I have often had a thought like I just want to be somewhat prepared to take care of my boys if the world doesn't end. And I'm a contractor, so my work has been quite devastating to this tough economy. So as you said tonight, it's as if anybody has even the slightest doubt that May 21 is not going to be Judgment Day, it's almost as if they are doubting the word of God. And this does concern me, and that's why I said I prayed for more assurance and faith from God, you know, so that I would be even more confident. Because when I talk to people...
Well, excuse me. Excuse me. I can't tell anybody else what they should do. The question has come to me, do you believe what you're going to do on May 22? I have answered for myself. Each individual has to answer for himself. And I'm not the umpire about all this. God is. And you pray for wisdom. You pray for wisdom as whatever you're thinking about. Because I'm not going to tell you what to do with money or what to do with your children or whatever. It's a spiritual matter, finally. And it really, our focus ought to be not on our money or our assets or whatever. It ought to be focused on prayer. Oh, Lord, have mercy, have mercy. Could it be that some of my children also might have their spiritual eyes open before the end comes? And if we have any doubts in our own mind, and that would be very legitimate, even though we're a child of God, we can be beseeching the Lord and beseeching the Lord, oh, Lord, have mercy. That for sure. I am a child of God, and I know I have to wait on thee because there's nothing that I can do about this. But, oh, Lord, keep me humble and help me to have an intense desire to want to be obedient. But insofar as what we're doing personally with our family or with our finances or whatever, I don't want to enter into that at all, not at all, because That's not my task at all. That's a very private matter between each individual and Christ. But thank you for calling and sharing. And shall we take our next call, please? Welcome to Open Forum.
Yes, is this Brother Camping?
Yes, you're on the air. Go ahead with your call.
Yes, I just wanted to make a few observations concerning yourself and Family Radio over the years. I've listened to you off and on for the past 20 years. I found you to be very faithful to the Word, uncompromising when it comes to the truth. And this issue about May 21st being Judgment Day, I think if everybody searched their heart and soul, can anybody argue against the fact that the world is ripe today, 2011, for judgment? When you look around you in the world and internationally and in this country. And not only that, but why not May 21st? Why not May 21st? It's been expected for a long time, as far as I'm concerned. When you look around you and you read the signs of the Bible, there's nothing that has yet to be fulfilled of all the signs except judgment. And not only that, but how is it impossible if people believe all the mighty miracles and wonders of God Almighty that the Scripture speaks of, with Moses and dividing the Red Sea and all the miracles of Jesus Christ healing the blind, walking on water? Why is it such a great thing if you believe everything else in the Bible and all the good, wonderful miracles of God? Why would you not believe his solemn vow and holy promise of a judgment day?
Well, the reason is, yes, well, I appreciate what you're saying, but we have to remember, until God opens up our spiritual eyes, we will not understand. And so we have to be very patient with those who take a negative position or who even mock or scoff. The Bible says there will be many scoffers in this day. And it's only those who God has opened their spiritual eyes. And so we have to be very patient. The fact that you or I may be quite certain that we know that it's going to happen, absolutely, we can't take any credit for that. It only means that God has given us that certainty. And yet, so we have to be very patient with others and keep praying for them, because some of them might still, it's still the day of salvation. That's what's so wonderful. It's still, for the next few weeks, is still the day of salvation. And let's be very, very concerned about others and be praying for them. But thank you for calling and sharing. And shall we take our next call, please? Welcome to Open Forum.
Hello?
Yes, welcome to Open Forum.
Hi, Brother Camping. I'm calling because I'm certainly trying to prepare myself and keep myself busy and actually witnessing to people as I go out. Everywhere I go, I get an opportunity, and I'm so thankful. The most important thing is, I'm supposed to have surgery. I have a colostomy on my right side, and they want to operate on me. It's not serious. I don't have cancer or anything else. This is something I can live with. But what they would do is actually reverse the colon. But otherwise, I'm fine. But I know Christ is coming on the 21st. I believe that. And I'm going to get a brand new body. So why should I allow someone to put the knife on me? Do you understand what I mean?
Well, this is something that you are facing yourself. And I can only say that if I were in your position, I would probably follow just what you're doing. If it's not threatening, if it were threatening right now, maybe I'd get an operation, because we have to live till May 21. But on the other hand, if it's not threatening, why bother? Why bother? If you can keep your focus on warning people and on praying for your loved ones and so on. But thank
yes,
you.
Sir.
Thank you for calling and sharing. And shall we take our next call, please? Welcome to Open Forum.